Our gospel this morning is from the 9th chapter of Luke. And again, we're talking about Jesus taking a journey to Jerusalem. And he's talking to a few people along the way and actually extending an invitation. But the interesting thing is, how do you respond to the invitation? So, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and he rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." It's the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A New Testament scholar by the name of Richard Hayes says that there seems to be this tendency among us Christians to reduce the claims of Jesus to the level of just being plain, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, widely affirmed common sense. And you can hear this kind of a gospel in all kinds of places, a myriad of places, certainly on the internet. Congregations are being told, you know, how you can live a happier marriage and how to find satisfaction in your work, how to live with a positive attitude. And while some of that stuff is good advice, and it certainly is, the advice that's being given really isn't much different from the advice that one might receive from any fairly wise person whom you would ask, "How can I live a better life?" So, let me ask just a couple simple questions. What if Jesus didn't come to us to enable us to live better lives? What if the way of Jesus is a way that is strikingly different from the way of common sense? In other words, what if your main thing in life really isn't the main thing? Well, you know, these are questions that kind of rest on my mind, especially like Gospels like today in the scripture. I mean, we know that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. We know that. And we also know that it'll be in Jerusalem that he's going to take up his cross, literally, and then make that journey down that little stony, narrow path that very few, if any of us, would want to tread. Yet, he's on his way to Jerusalem. And while he's walking, he's inviting people to walk with him. So, how does that work for Jesus? Well, our story gives us an idea. Jesus sent a couple of his disciples into a Samaritan village, right? And that was a place that they didn't necessarily want to go to. And they were met with outright rejection when they got there. So, the question, of course, is why did they reject Jesus? Well, it's because of where he was going. He's going to Jerusalem. They didn't want to go to Jerusalem. And it wasn't because of the differences in interpretation of the scripture. Or it wasn't because they found him offensive. It was because of the direction that he was walking. They didn't want to go to Jerusalem. That's where Jesus was headed. They wanted no part of that. To them, nothing good was going to happen in Jerusalem. But Jesus just continues on until he runs into three more people who actually act just the opposite of the Samaritans. And they announce, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." Now, common sense, of course, would suggest that that sounded like a pretty good deal to Jesus. And you would think that that would be just great. I mean, was it not an amazing declaration of discipleship? Far beyond what the Samaritans would offer Jesus. But it turns out that there were a few other conditions that rested outside of what might consider common sense discipleship. In our culture today, Jesus is rejected by a whole wide array of Samaritans. In fact, a recent poll that was done by the Pew Research Center indicates just that, that the group of Americans who identify themselves as atheists continues to grow. Now, you might recall that not too long ago, I mean, I certainly remember this, that if you were to outrightly reject the Christian religion, that would have been a shocking thing to hear. If you'd have been standing or sitting next to a friend of yours or a colleague or someone at work, and you would just turn to them and say, "You know, I'm not into this Christian kind of stuff," they'd have been shocked. Today, it's fairly widespread. You can easily find a preacher on TV who likes to appeal to the intelligent thinking people that they should reject Christians and all that childish belief kind of stuff. Yet in this story, you'll note that it's not the hostile, outwardly antagonistic individuals, you know, like the Samaritans. That's not the group that our writer Luke is going after. Rather, it's those who are believers. It's the believers, the affirming ones, who would say, "Yes, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere." They're the ones who seem to be the real objects of concern in our passage. Today, we would probably recognize these individuals as saying something like, "Lord, I find you absolutely fascinating, and I've got this key interest in spirituality." But in this passage, Jesus would meet that comment with, "But are you prepared to risk parents and family and home for me?" Or maybe you actually know someone who would say something like, "Lord, your church is just filled with nice people. I get along with them all. They seem so much like me and like my family, so I want you to put my name on your membership list." Well, to them, Jesus would say something like, "But are you prepared to go with me amid people whom you despise and then try to be my church with people whom you have very little in common with?" How many people do you think have swaggered up to Jesus saying, "Oh Lord, I'm going to follow you absolutely wherever you go," only to end up falling away when the common sense of the statement is met with reality of where Jesus is actually heading? Have you ever wondered, what if Jesus comes among us not to be used for what we want, but rather to use us for what he wants? It's kind of a cute story that goes along those lines. There's a woman who emerges from a sanctuary after church, meets the pastor at the door to shake his hand, and she says, "Pastor, man, I've had an absolutely horrendous week. I've got trouble at work, bad news in our family. So I came here this morning just seeking some comfort and some consolation. Well, I'm sorry for your trouble, the pastor says. I hope that my sermon was helpful to you. Well, not particularly, she snapped back. I came here hoping for some comfort and some help, only to be given another assignment. You know, that's sometimes the way it is when you dare to walk with Jesus. But remember, even in this kind of hard-to-swallow passage, there's always good news, because you haven't refused to receive Jesus. You. In fact, you have indeed received him. You've welcomed him into your life. You hit the road with Jesus as his follower. I mean, sure, you may not be the most faithful follower that Jesus has ever had. That includes me. I mean, we all still have our reservations. We have our questions, our commitments, and our loves that restrain us from a complete, total dedication to discipleship. But still, there you are. You're on the road with Jesus. Oh, sure. You still keep things from him. You don't tell everything outrightly, and not wholeheartedly have you committed to his way, but still you are on the way. I mean, come on, you've gotten out of bed this morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, right? Haven't you? Here you are. And the people listening on the radio, how many stations could they be listening to other than this one? What makes it really all the more remarkable that you're here, not just here listening, but also walking the way of Christ. You know it's the way of the cross, but there you are. You're walking it anyway. You know that he's going to tell you some things that you probably don't want to hear, but still, there you are, listening to Jesus, walking with him, and trying to keep up with him. And in spite of all the setbacks that you've had in your attempts to be faithful, here you are. Here we are. Jesus wants us to remember that discipleship is not about common sense. It is not about this warm and fuzzy feeling you get day in and day out, day after day, because it just isn't that easy. What discipleship is about is questioning if the main thing that's in your life is really the main thing. But also remember, in the midst of this daily struggle to be a disciple, Jesus also presents us with a guarantee. And that is that if we do commit ourselves to God, if we will dare to follow, that experience is going to be a grace beyond grace. It'll be a gift beyond giving, because that's going to be the time when our little lives are going to get caught up in this big, overwhelming adventure that's called God's kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Father, to follow, to follow means so many things, and we like to insert little pieces of our own definition as well. It brings us a little comfort. But to follow you is to abandon what makes us comfortable, you know, what makes sense to us and what is familiar to us. Well, it's difficult, Lord. So, Father, help us. Help us to lay our earthly lives before you in all that we do in our earnest attempt to follow. Lord, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.